I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tonight's horrifying story is a series of three parts to a terrifying dogman story. Part 1. It Drew First Blood. As soon as the first body turned up, they already had me pegged for it. It wouldn't be the first time they blamed me for something like this, and I just knew it wouldn't be the last. I had never bothered any one of them, but ever since I came back from Afghanistan, that damn sheriff just had it out for me. I had just about gotten my uncle's old camper up and running to finally get my ass out of this shallow little town and its shitty residents when this madness dropped on my lap. My name's Bauer, and I served 3 tours out there before I was finally sent back home. The nightmares of seeing what became of the folks I was close to still keeps me awake far too many nights. It took a toll on me, made it so I wasn't fit to be a soldier anymore, not in the way they wanted me to be anyways. We got in the gritty shit, me and my company, but I was the only one who made it out there in one piece. That damn place left most of us dead, but me and Jones survived it, though he was half the man he used to be by the time we came back home. I still see his legs turning to hamburger right in front of me when I close my eyes. I was in so much shock at the time, it took me longer than I like to admit before I realized he was still alive. Wasn't much left of him below the waist anymore, but he still made it back to the States with me. I hoped we could still be a part of each other's lives when we returned, but that wasn't in the cards. He put a gun in his mouth about 2 months after we had gotten home. I tried to stick by his side, but he pushed me away, as well as anyone else who tried to help. I still feel the guilt of not being able to truly save him, as well as the burden of seeing someone I truly cared about losing everything he was to that war. Jones was more than a friend to me, though we never acted on any of that back then. We made plans for if we made it back home, but those never came to fruition. They always made out folks of our particular persuasion would not be accepted by their fellow soldiers if they knew, but it wasn't like that at all. The rest of the guys were fully aware how we were about each other, and they did nothing but support us and wish us the best. Sure, there would be plenty of shit talk and jokes, but no worse than they gave each other. If anything, that would just make us feel more accepted. Truth be told, he may as well have died when that bomb took his legs. I think it took what was left of his mind, just as much as his ability to even walk again. Hell, I think I lost almost as much of my marbles as he did when it happened. It was that last straw that had me holding my already fractured brain intact. Every time I got close to thinking I got my demons beat, something refuels them, feeds them, makes them even stronger than before. Yeah, I've seen some shit, but nothing could have prepared me for this. I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, but my folks died some years back, so I don't have much reason to go back there when I came home. Uncle Frank, he lived out here in Vermont, so that's where I ended up. I was hanging on by a thread by the time I got back, but we had always been pretty close since I was a kid. He helped me through the toughest parts of adjusting back to life amongst the living. But I had to watch the cancer eat away at him, piece by piece until there was nothing left. He was a vet too, and he still had plenty of both mental and physical scars from his time in Vietnam, so he sort of lived off the grid himself. This camper was all he had to leave me, but he never did have kids of his own. I suppose that's why he was like a second father to me. Also what inspired me to join the military in the first place. Sure, he tried to talk me out of it, given how the war messed him up. But I idolized the man when I was a child. I sometimes wish I would have listened to him, though. He was the one who taught me how to hunt, fish, use a knife, and shoot a gun, long before Uncle Sam showed me the ropes. I probably learned more about how to kill from Frank than anyone else, and it was probably the only damn thing I was ever good at. Told me I was a natural, my uncle, and I suppose he was right. Can't say how he ended up on the outskirts of this little town, though. They looked at him like a stain on their otherwise perfect little paradise. And I guess I carried the torch after he passed. The old RV hadn't run in years, but we had worked on the old girl when we had the money for parts and such. Felt the engine rumble for the first time in God knows how long, only a week or so before he lost the fight. She still wasn't exactly seaworthy and all, but I still planned to move on as soon as I got everything working right. I sort of lost the motivation for a bit after he died, but I got back to work on her just before all this shit started. It was a couple that went missing at first. They had supposedly just been passing through, so nobody stressed that too much. Sure, the abandoned car they left by the tree line, near the city limits, raised some eyebrows. But this little slice of America never did care too much for outsiders, so they didn't exactly put a lot of effort into investigating it. They towed the car, searched around in the woods for a couple of hours, but that was about it. As long as it didn't concern them or their town, it didn't much matter to them. Sure enough, good old Sheriff Garfield came knocking at my door when they were looking into it. He was creeping up on 50, and looked like he was probably in pretty solid shape when he was younger. He was a little over 6 feet tall, a good couple of inches taller than me, but he was pretty thick around the waistline, kept his head cleanly shaved, aside from that thick caterpillar mustache. He always stood as tall as he could to look down on me, but that shit never fazed me. Anytime anything irregular happened, the old camper nestled up on the hill was his first stop. He didn't push it too far, though. Not until one of their own came up missing. That day, he had me in shackles before I could even get a word in. Him and his little goon squad he called the Neighborhood Watch. They already had their mind made up that I was the one who did something to the group of teens who went partying out in the woods that weekend. Yeah, they beat on me a little bit while I was in chains, called me a baby killer and the like. But nothing I wasn't used to from folks like these. I've been tortured by far more experienced hands than some good old boys, who hadn't even been in nothing worse than a brawl or two. I took their hits, and told them the same story I'd been trying to. I don't mess with anyone in this damn town, not unless I have to stop by the post office to pick up my check from Uncle Sam, or grab some odds and ends at the local stores. I don't even know the kids who never made it home that night, let alone what could have happened to them. They still kept me locked up for a week or so, but after another disappearance left some body parts behind. They couldn't pin that one on me. Of course, Garfield didn't so much as attempt to apologize to me when they let me walk, but I wouldn't have expected any less from that rat bastard. He did have the nerve to ask me if I'd be interested in joining the posse to hunt down what they assumed to be a bear or something, but I just walked away without a word. I didn't hear many details about what was left or whoever the limbs and guts had belonged to, but they seemed pretty certain that it wasn't something any man could have done. I know what men are capable of, seen some of the worst of it firsthand. Hell, I've done some of the worst of it myself. But there ain't much someone in the wrong state of mind can pull off if they have the time and means to do it. That was my thinking anyways. Though I wasn't about to argue with being set free. Whether or not I gave two shits about the people of this city, I planned to do my own looking onto who or what was doing this. I sorta wish I would've just stayed out of it, to be completely honest. Just get that old camper roadworthy and turn my back on this shithole. Of course, there's a lot of things I would've done differently in my life, if I knew what I knew now. What's another few scars on the body and mind when it's all said and done, though? Ain't no point in looking back. Not anymore. The posse consisted of maybe 20 or so guys, all of them big old shit-kicking jokers. A couple of them were the ones beating on me for the sheriff's delight, so I knew they had no chance against someone that tore some folks to pieces. Just because they're big doesn't mean they can fight. I've had worse beatings in a friendly sparring match or two. Hell, Uncle Frank hit harder when he was skin and bones from cancer. Whoever or whatever was out there, I knew they couldn't handle it.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I tracked them from a good distance, kept the higher ground so I could see where they were headed. It didn't take me long to catch up with them either. I likely should have headed back to the camper to load up on some more supplies, but Garfield reluctantly gave me back my kabar when he let me go. I always kept it on me, even if I was sitting around the fire pit like I was when they dragged me into the station. That knife was like a fifth limb after all these years, and I can control it just as well as any of them, maybe even better. If I were hunting a man, it wouldn't take much to drop him. Just a flick of the wrist, nothing to it. Night was falling when things took a turn, when I got first sight of what was really going on here. Being that it was dark out, all I had to go on was the beams of their flashlights down below. I had spent a good deal of time out in the woods over the past 8 months or so I've been living out this way, but I still had to watch my step. Last thing I needed was to tumble down on two of those I was tracking. When one of them screamed out, I watched those lights dart all over the place. When the maniac got the better of them. Whatever was going on down there, I needed to get a closer look. When I was working my way down the hill, I heard more screams and what sounded like a growling of some kind. I thought it could be that they were right after all. Maybe it was a bear that brought them out this way. But I haven't ever heard of even a grizzly killing folks and dragging them so deep that nobody could find them. Whatever it was, it had a poorly trained posse spooked, and when the one that was screaming turned to moist gargles, I knew the others wouldn't last much longer. Several of them were shouting and whining in one way or another, basically announcing their position to whatever was after them. I didn't have much time to roll my eyes at their stupidity, but I was closing the gap. When I came up to the body spitting blood across the grass, I could damn sure see that no man could have done something like this after all, not in such a short amount of time. His whole throat had been ripped apart, left arm had been torn away, and his gut was shredded to ribbons. It could all be done by human hands and the right tools, but not that quickly. His flashlight was some feet away, with the hand that had been holding it still gripped on. I reckon this thing was a lefty. The closer I looked with light shining across the lifeless husk, the damage to his midsection looked to have been caused by one swift strike. Everything had been peeled to the right, and what had been spilled out was wrapped around the bark of a tree just a few feet in that direction. That was the first strike, if I had to guess. That or the arm. The throat came after, since that scream that turned to gargles came a few moments later. Poor bastard didn't even have a chance. When I was attempting to unwrap the rifle from his shoulder, that's when a couple of his buddies cleared the trees. When they saw me kneeling next to the guy, they tried to claim his gun. They trained theirs on me, while barking more of their damn threats and bullshit.
"I freaking knew it!"
Garfield said when he came up to the ones who had me at gunpoint. "It ain't like this, boys," I said, dropping the gun strap and raising my hands. "I found him like this. I was just..."
"Shut the hell up, you sick son of a bitch,"
he said, pulling his pistol from his holster, walking closer to where I knelt.
"I'm gonna do what I should have done in the first place."
I knew what he was planning. I could see it in his eyes. That same look I had given on so many faces. I was all too familiar with the expression someone gets when they got killing in mind. He was walking slowly, almost reluctantly, but I had a feeling he wanted to do it right. I can't say if he ever killed anyone before, but the way his hands were shaking could have been anything from excited apprehension to just the shock of seeing what was left of this man. He wanted to get close. He wanted to make sure to hit his mark, especially with the way his gun was tremoring. He'd have to get right on me to be sure, press the barrel right to my head. It was the only way he could be certain. He didn't take into account the advantage that'd give me. Didn't think it through or plan it out. Yeah, his type doesn't think too highly about a soldier. And that was his greatest weakness. You don't disrespect your enemy. Not if you want to get the drop on them. As soon as he pushed that barrel in my face, even though I could see that finger twitch and prepare to pull back, I was faster than him. I swatted that hand as soon as it got in range, spun him around to face his posse with my other arm, and pressed my blade against his throat, just daring the boys to open fire.
"Look at my knife," I said,
letting their lights hit the metal.
"It's clean! No blood, no guts or meat!"
Garfield was shaking like a leaf in a storm, but he was fighting hard to not so much as twitch. In his weak little mind, all he knew was that I was a killer, and he suddenly didn't want to give me a reason.
"Look, this looked like a blade that could have done that?"
I nodded at the ripped up body on the ground, hoping their little brains could wrap around the facts. Each and every one of them still held their guns on me while they whispered back and forth, like they were little kids telling secrets or something. I just prayed that they would see the truth of what I was saying. It ain't hard to figure out that not only my knife had not been used recently, but one little pig stabber wouldn't be enough to do that kind of damage, not in so little time.
"Just let him go and we'll talk about it, man,"
the one with the shaggy hair and a finely trimmed beard said, still waving his rifle around like he was trying to swat a fly.
"If I drop him, you're gonna drop me. You think I'm that stupid?"
I knew what they were thinking. Get the chief out of the way and fill my guts full of lead. I ain't always the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm not dumb as a box of rocks either. Just let them. When I would assume to be whatever made that growling sound before, howled out in some sort of almost guttural wail. I had never heard anything like it my whole life, but luckily for me, the ones who held their guns on me looked like they hadn't either. They turned their heads in all directions, trying to find the source of the noise, and I wasted no time in pushing Garfield to the ground before hauling ass away from them. As soon as the chief hit the grass, he yelled at the boys to fire, and I heard a ton of bullets landing in trees and dirt behind me. But I didn't let up until I was sure I was out of range. I heard them try to scamper after me, but with the darkness combined with them, wasting time firing at nothing before they took to running, they weren't going to find me unless I wanted them to.
Bauer!
The sheriff yelled out from somewhere behind me.
You're in a world of shit when we find you!
He wasn't wrong, of course. But if whatever tore this man to shreds found me first, the local law would be the least of my troubles. On the flip side, if it got to them before me, they'd learn a thing or two about hunters and prey. What I had to decide at that point was, should I let it? That close-minded prick had made life hard for me and Frank for some time. But could I really just leave him and the boys to get ripped apart? I haven't been much of a God-fearing man. My parents were regulars at church, every Sunday since I was a kid, but they never forced me to walk the path they chose. Still, I put my life and my sanity on the line to protect folks I had never laid eyes on, leaving me with scars that will never heal. No, this one wasn't my problem. Not after everything this small-minded sheriff in his worthless little town had put me through. At that point, my only concern was getting as far away from my pursuers as I could. Whatever may or may not happen to them after I was gone wasn't my problem. Maybe, if I could get back to the old camper, maybe it had enough life in it to get me across the borders of the city, free me from this damn place and its shitty residents. That was what I was thinking at the time, before the screaming started again.
Years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It could have been no more than instinct that had me stop running as soon as another horrified screech echoed across and between the trees. Perhaps it was my own fear of what was out there that made my pulse race while I stood in place, still almost gasping for breath from that flat-out sprint. Of course, it is very possible that I am a stupid individual, one that allows some bizarre sense of morality to overrule my better judgment, that sends me charging back to those from who I had just escaped. Gunfire was erupting from all over the place ahead of me, while one gargling voice became silent, before another yelled out in shock and fear. My own heart pounded against the wall of my chest as I drew closer, even more so when I could make out the growls again. They were hauntingly deep, vibrating in guttural moans that sounded as though each one reverberated against the inner lining of my ears in ways I couldn't quite describe. I felt them as much as I heard them. The first body I came across had been torn in two, split apart at the midsection, only connected by gnarled and meaty strips of tissue. The expression frozen to the man's face was one of complete and absolute horrified shock. The look in his vacant eyes almost disturbed me more than the jagged remains of his spinal column that was protruding through where his intestines were sprawled out across the dead leaves. With the others sounding as though they were only some yards ahead, I reached for the gun that was still held in his hand, only to find that he had apparently spent what ammunition he had. Even with all the awful shit I had seen in my life, I still fought against retching across the bloodied pool of guts at my feet, as I searched the body for any extra ammo. I can't say I was surprised to find no trace of any, as these men were clearly not remotely prepared for any of this. As I raised up from the ground once more, a grisly howl called out from what felt like all around me, causing my stomach to churn even more than it already was. Being the incredibly stupid individual I am, I charged onwards with my kabar gripped tightly. If a full load of ammunition didn't so much as slow this thing down, I wasn't entirely sure what my 7-inch blade would do to it. But I had always been more skilled with a knife than a firearm. Yeah, I could shoot well, and rarely missed my mark. But I was always better up close and personal. Since the bizarre soundtrack of whatever this beast was sounded as though it came from all directions, I had little choice than to follow the sounds of the screams. It didn't exactly take rocket science to figure out wherever the current victim was. It was leading me in the direction to what was killing them. After ducking under low-hanging branches, while weaving between trees, some which had deep gashes clawed into them, I finally came face to face with what I had been seeking. What I saw had almost caused my knife to slip through my fingers before running back the other way, but I was so shocked by the sight, I couldn't even convince my legs to move. It stood twice the height of the guy with the neatly trimmed beard, who had held outstretched in his dark fur-lined arm. It looked like every inch of the beast was layered in that thick black fur, though I could still make out bulging and rippled muscles in its arms. It had the shape and proportions of a large man, but its head and lower half resembled some sort of enormous dog or wolf. Everything looked animalistic, with the exception of the human-like torso and arms, as well as the fact it stood upright on two legs. There was one other aspect of this beast that had my knees shaking so violently. I thought it may snap a femur in two, given the fact I could only see the profile of the mammoth from where I stood. I could only make out one of its eyes above the back of its snarling, sharp-toothed muzzle, but it glowed a vibrant red, as though I was gazing at the eyes of the devil himself. The crimson beam illuminated its wrinkled snout, accentuating the feral and hungered expression. I still gazed on, practically rooted to the spot while it wrapped one large, five-fingered hand around the head of its victim, before placing the other around his neck and upon his shoulders. The guy tried to scream out again, but all I could do was make out a muffled whimper and the enlarged palm spreading across his mouth. I could still see the blood spewing from between the fingers of the beast, while it pushed up on the head it held while pressing down on the torso. I heard every tear and snap of the muscle fibers and flesh of the man's neck as it stretched and split. The muffled gargles combined with the sound of the blood splattering against the trees, while spraying into the gaping mouth of the creature. As the final slivers of skin and tissue gave way, the bone creaked and snapped, putting an end to any other sounds besides one of the blood still leaking from one or two parts, which were once a whole person. Once again, the thing howled that maddening wailing chorus, though I witnessed firsthand it throwing its neck back, while reaching its arms out to its sides, dropping the pieces of its victim to the forest floor. I could feel my legs giving out as the life left, as though it was drained from me. My body twitched and spasmed as my mind fought to rationalize what my eyes were gazing upon, but it was a losing battle. I was certain I was only seconds from being ripped apart myself, and I could barely command my limbs to take action. That was, until a hand gripped around my ankle. I almost leapt out of my own skin as images of a second one of those creatures flew across my mind's eye. But when I looked down to see one of the big guys from the sheriff's goon squad staring up at me, it took me a minute to notice what sort of shape he was in. Both of his legs were gone, which instantly flashed me back to Jones' limbs turning to hamburger. I managed to snap out of both my paralysis from seeing that beast tear that poor bastard's head off, as well as my own messed up memories. I gave one final glance to the howling behemoth before I dropped to the ground next to the man who was barely clinging onto his life with his whole body. Well, what was left of it, shuddering so badly I just knew the beast would hear us. I peered through the bushes to see that thing turn to face where we both shivered across the blood-soaked leaves, attempting to be as silent as humanly possible. I tried to hold the guy next to me as still as possible, while I prayed to the gods I had never put my faith into before. I could feel my own senses begin to recover while I convinced my muscles to stop spasming, allowing me to regain my tight grip on the hilt of my knife, preparing the strike if the beast came close. It looked to me sniffing in the air, as its snout wrinkled and puffed, but I could only hope the scent of the carnage it had spread across the woods would be enough to disguise my own sweat and filth. When it darted its enormous head from one side to the other before strolling back in the other direction, I finally let out a low and trembling breath, unaware I had even been holding it in. The broken man and I stayed in that same spot, not so much as uttering a single word to one another for what felt like hours. While we waited, I pulled off my belt to wrap around the meaty stumps from where the legs used to reside. Unfortunately, as I tightened it down to halt the flowing stream of blood, I noticed the guy's eyes were vacant and wide. I felt for the poor prick, even if he had me pegged for the brutal killings as much as Garfield, but nobody deserved to end like that. Even with the dead man right next to where I crouched, I still gave it another 10 minutes or so before I got moving again. Not only did I want to make sure that the thing moved on, but I wasn't sure how many of Garfield's boys were still kicking. Unfortunately, that was a question that was answered only moments after I got back on my way.
"There he is!"
the sheriff's voice screamed out, accompanied by the hoots and hollers of several others. I turned to see multiple flashlights beaming as the clumsy footsteps of the posse came crashing through the trees right at me.
"Look what he did, sick son of a bitch! Shoot him on sight!"
were about all I could make out while one guy's words blended into another's before gunfire silenced all of them. I tried to scream out that I wasn't responsible for any of this, but if they thought me capable of separating limbs and heads with no more than just a damn knife, there's no way my words were going to convince them of shit. I could only assume the group had split apart while they were chasing me down, but I couldn't figure out how they couldn't see that whatever was making those feral and guttural noises was the one responsible for all the carnage. I just continued to run while hoping these half-assed trained junior mercenaries wouldn't be able to land a hit on me. I don't know if I was running away from them or towards that monster, but at that time, the bastards trying to gun me down were the most immediate threat. Still, I was trapped on that damned mountain with the giant hairy beast and an angry frickin' mob, both of which would likely be thrilled to see me dead. Maybe if I had been focusing on the road instead rather than all the madness, I would have noticed the ledge before I felt the ground just disappear beneath my feet. When I felt my body practically slap across the water, I just knew I had hit the ground and that was the end for me. It took me a minute to realize I was sucking in water, rather than floating away to Neverland or some shit. I wrestled my way back to the surface, just in time to hear more guns firing from above, likely from the ledge I had dropped from. To my continued surprise, I was apparently out of range enough for none of them to hit me before I made it to the riverbank. As soon as I was certain that I was out of the mob's sight, I dropped to the ground, gasping for breath. I was hurting and exhausted. I was almost literally between a rock and a hard place. But I at least had a moment finally. I took a chance to allow my body to rest before moving on, as I was sure it would take them some time to get down to where I found myself. Still, even if I had managed to somehow survive the carnage that beast shed, as well as the ignorant pricks who couldn't let the difference between an animal attack and what was realistically possible with the damn Gabar, it was quite clear to me that my long and brutal night had only just begun.